Hello again, Mike Shope and the Bulldog. We're at Roswell Park today. Hockey fights cancer. November 1st, Sabres, Friday night, home to the Islanders. And Roswell is participating in promoting that. You can buy tickets to the game through their site. Also, we had roswellpark.com/Eddie as we chatted with a PA here earlier today and focused on that. So it is a moving. Right.
That's a mobile kind of place. Lung cancer screening vehicle that they are all Jamestown, North Niagara Falls, all around Cattaraugus County. They've gotten out.
Week 8 is complete with the Steelers win over the Giants last night. On the West Hur Hotline now, Odyssey NFL insider Ross Tucker. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. May yo game day be delicious. Ross, how was Cleveland?
Awesome. Yeah, I mean, that was fantastic. That game was phenomenal. You know, I guess the good and the bad is that the bad is there were other games where a lot of stuff was going on at the same time. So, it was good if you were sitting home watching the Red Zone. But for me, I was just locked in on our game, but I loved everything about it. I mean, I believe in and love any given Sunday and the idea that any team can win. And we saw that, obviously, on multiple occasions on Sunday. And, you know, Browns fans have not had very much to cheer about at all. So I was very happy for those folks that they got to have a day, man. And you guys will appreciate this, and everybody listening will as much as anybody else. You know, their longtime radio voice, at least ever since they came back in 99.
Yep.
Jim Donovan passed away the day before. So you think about, like, Van Miller or people. I mean, it means a lot to a lot of people. And so it was just everything, right? Like, no more Deshaun Watson, first home win this year, beating the former Browns who left to go to Baltimore, you know, the day after Jim Donovan passed in dramatic fashion. The Browns had lost 5 in a row. The Ravens had won 5 in a row. It was awesome. It was absolutely an awesome, electric atmosphere. I loved it.
Jim Donovan, I think what he did, he had a stint at NBC. I don't know if you know this or can confirm it. But I think, Bulldog, the famous Jim Kelly quarterback dive against Miami.
89 in Miami, 89, the opener?
I think he has that game. Huh. But that's a long time ago. I want to look that up.
I'm glad you thought to mention that part of it, because that is definitely, and the parallel to Van is absolutely correct. It is a very emotional thing for a fan base to go through, and it happened just the day before the game. So good on you for mentioning it.
Ross, the Ravens lose. I mean, not everything went perfectly for the Bills, but they kind of cruise in Seattle. They have 6 wins, and second place in the AFC East is a 3-way tie with 2. I don't know, like... I don't know what the conversation we're headed to could be resting guys for multiple weeks in December. I mean, obviously it's not time for that yet, but they are getting they would say in horse racing, Bulldog's a big horse guy. They would say the Bills are having a dream trip this year so far.
Well, yeah, I mean, in the sense of what's happening with the other teams for sure, but that's not what's happening with the Chiefs. And I think if you're the Bills, it's not really just about winning the division. I think if the Chiefs, you know, are far enough ahead that there's no chance the Bills could get home field, I think that would be pretty interesting to see what the decision is there.
Yeah.
Because I think that's one of the things I don't like about the new playoff format. I think the number one seed is a little bit too important and a little too valuable that you get a bye, which is huge, and you get the home field advantage, and nobody else gets a bye. The flip side is, obviously, we saw what the Chiefs did last year, where I don't know what they were, the 3 or the 4 seed, and they went and won it anyway again. So you don't need to have it, but it's certainly good to have. I think the question would be, like, I think the Bills will keep going until the one seed's out of reach. If the one seed's out of reach, but the AFC East is locked up, I think there's a really fascinating conversation to be had about the value of seeds 2 through 4, and whether or not it's worth the injury risk, the wear and tear of playing your guys.
Yeah. We've already started last week. At one point, I was like, I feel like 2 to 3, I'm not worried. 3 to 4, I don't know. Like, it feels like a little too much to me. Because every other year that they've been in this spot, a similar spot, where the one, they're not going to get the one, but they're playing for the two, I'm like, go for it. You know, because you just never know what's going to happen, and just get the highest seed you can get, and I could defend that. Last year, Ross, they had to lean into Week 18 in Miami to even get the division and ultimately the 2 seed, as it turned out. But you had injuries in that game, and there's the value of the bye right there, because the Pittsburgh wildcard game, maybe the biggest loss they had in those 2 games, the season finale in Miami and then the Pittsburgh wildcard game, was Terrell Bernard, because they just did not have linebackers. They were already down Milano from earlier in the year. They just did not have linebackers, and Kansas City like averaged 9 yards a play or something against them, and I think missing Bernard was the big piece of that. And if they had gotten the benefit of the bye, Bernard wouldn't have gotten hurt.
Yep, and you know, it's so interesting that you say that, Bulldog, because I interviewed Brandon Bean today, and it's going to be on tomorrow's Ross Tucker Football Podcast, and he specifically referenced, you know, starting A.J. Klein in the game against the Chiefs last year in the playoffs, and having to start him. Like, he was, like, I guess, on an RV trip with his family.
He was about to leave, yes, right.
And or something like that, and he signed him, and, you know, he had to start against the Chiefs in, you know, one of the biggest games for the Bills in a long, long time. So I think, you know, that obviously is a real thing that happens, and I think whatever they can do to – I think, well, I guess the way I would describe it is, I think you go for the one seed. I think if you're going to be 2, 3, or 4, I'm actually okay with resting guys like week 18, and that is your bye, so to speak.
With Ross Tucker, obviously the but here is, I mean, guys, it's not even November yet. Let's slow down. You know, thinking of all in context, Ross, like how. I mean, the opposite of this by asking, but sort of vulnerable do the Bills appear to be? Do they seem like impervious to a season where they get run down by one of these teams in the division? Maybe it's more about the other teams, right? I mean, Miami loses again. The Jets may be in shambles. How safe is it to talk like this, I guess, is the question.
Very, very safe to talk about winning the AFC East. I think sitting guys out and those type of things, I think that part of it's premature. But I think very safe to talk about winning the AFC. I mean, I cannot believe the Jets lost to the Patriots on Sunday. That's like one of the, speaking of any given Sunday, that's one of the most surprising losses I think I've ever seen. I don't know how that happens, but it did. And the Jets are done. I mean, the Jets are going to be fascinating. I can't ever think, and maybe you guys remember here, can you think of a team where they had a first ballot Hall of Fame quarterback, a Hall of Fame receiver, and they're playing like 5 to 8 games that are meaningless to just play out the string? I mean, it's going to be so weird when the Jets are like 4-10, and Aaron Rodgers drops back to pass. It's just like, it doesn't even feel real, you know? And at that point, something weird's going to happen there, because at some point, Aaron Rodgers is going to be like, wait a minute, I don't know that I really want to be taking this injury risk. I don't know if this is really good to be out here. I mean, the whole situation is just going to be extremely uncomfortable for a lot of people, which is enjoyable for me because I'm a media now and I don't care.
I am very much riding in that car with you. I think if they get to 4-10, he has a hamstring injury. Like something is going to maybe even well before that. Like if they aren't off the mat in any way in a couple of weeks, I envision him pulling the chute.
That is a great call by you and something I am really going to be looking for and waiting for, because I just don't picture him playing those last three or four or however many games it is when the games are totally, utterly meaningless. I mean, it's going to be fascinating.
Sorry, is there a case to be made? There's a case to be made about anything. Would you be interested in making the case that they should trade Devontae Adams before next Tuesday?
I think they could see how this game goes this week. Somehow Thursday night, they're favored against the Texans. I mean, isn't that something? I know it's a home game. I know it's a short week for the Texans, but the Jets have lost five games in a row, and they are favored at home against a pretty good Texans team. I don't know what that says. I don't know how much of that says they're just looking at the rosters, and you know, the Texans just lost Stephon Diggs with the torn ACL. I don't know if that's because the folks think, you know what, at some point they're going to be able to turn this around, they being the Jets, and they're not going to lose 10 games in a row, so this would be a game that they would turn. I don't know what it is, but I find that interesting. But if they lost that game, then what would they be, 2-7?
Right.
At that point? Then I think that you got to really consider everything. I mean, I saw someone suggest them trading Aaron Rodgers, which I thought was fascinating, to like a contending team, which actually makes a lot of sense because you can't bring him back next year. I mean, I just don't believe for a second that they're going to bring him back next year because it's going to be a new GM. It's going to be a new head coach. Those guys aren't going to want to have 42-year-old or whatever Aaron Rodgers calling the shots. So it would make sense to trade him. Now, I don't know that they would do that because that would look like they were throwing the towel in for the season, but that's what they should do. That is what they should do. That's what I would do. I would trade Devontae Adams and Aaron Rodgers because you're kind of starting from scratch next year anyway.
The Jets did bury Houston last year, if that means anything. And at 2-6,
yes, I saw that. I know. It doesn't mean anything to me.
And at 2-6, their point differential is only -20. I mean, there are teams with winning records probably that are better than that. And Houston's is only +9. So through at 6-2, so through 8 games in that particular statistic anyway, not too different. So what does it all add up to, Ross, in terms of the AFC? Kansas City's Kansas City, even though they don't often, at least offensively, look that impressive. The Bengals lose 2. The Ravens are at 3 losses. Should we be talking about the Steelers or some other team here? Like, how many teams could you see in the AFC literally like winning the conference?
Right now, I would say 3. I would say I can see the Bills doing it. I can see the Chiefs doing it. I can see the Ravens doing it. I think just on the outside looking in would be the Steelers and the Texans. It's not impossible for them, but I don't see them winning 3 playoff games. I don't see them, you know, beating back-to-back weeks. You know, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes. I don't see that being the case. I do think the Ravens are really good, despite that loss on Sunday. And I do think that the Bills are really good. And I think that they both have a terrific chance to knock off the Chiefs. But the Chiefs remain like just an unbelievable statistical outlier to me because, you know, so many of their playoff wins have come, and we've talked about this before, but have come down to one score games. And like, you could go to each one of those games and point to a play here or a play there that if it went the other way, the Bills win, or if it went the other way, the Ravens win, or whatever, which is fascinating.
But it keeps happening, right?
But it keeps happening. So it's like whatever the normal odds are to win those games, those situations, let's say it's 50-50. Let's even give them a bit of the doubt, 60-40. It feels like the Chiefs are like 90-10.
Yeah.
You know, they had that one loss to the Bengals in the AFC Championship game, and that's the only one, right, over the last 4 years, other than when over the last 5 years, other than when they got blown out by the Bucs in the Super Bowl. That was kind of a different deal. That was not a one-score game. But all those one-score games, and there's been a lot of them the last 5 years, they've only lost one of them. It's just wild.
Right. Ross Tucker, Insider Calls.
I don't know. Sorry, Mike. I don't know if that means that's just who they are and they always find a way to win, or if they've won more than their fair share. Yep. And this year they're due for a loss. But I really, really, like a lot of people did, really thought last year was the year. I mean, I really thought there's no way they're going to go to Buffalo and to Baltimore and win both those games.
I will be that guy betting against them again as the moving truck pulls into my driveway with the back open, taking all my stuff. Insider Calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season. I want to make sure we get a minute in here on Anthony Richardson and what happened with him on Sunday in Houston, the Colts quarterback. You know, tapping out for the one play late in the game, close game, and a lot of people just don't really approve of that. Now he's being benched for that reason or others. I don't know, Ross. He's had 10 starts. This is a top 5 overall pick. Is this really, like, good process here by the Colts, or is that kind of thing the kind of thing that maybe is a bigger deal to a team than I might think?
Well, so first of all, I mean, the tapping out thing is absolutely incredible. I mean, I've been 45 years on this earth. I've never seen a quarterback tap out of a football game like that at any level. Like Pop Warner, all the way through the NFL, I've never seen like, I'm tired, I got to come out. So I don't know what's more interesting to me is like, the fact that his conditioning is so poor that after a play like that, he felt like he needed to come out. I mean, have you guys ever seen Lamar Jackson or Kyler Murray play? That's every play for those guys.
Right.
And it's a lot of plays for Josh Allen. And he's big like Anthony. Josh Allen, over his dead body, would he come out and tap out like that? So, number one, I'm like in awe of the conditioning. Number two, I can't believe he actually did it. Like, I can't believe he actually thought this is a good idea. I'm going to tap out. And then number three, after the game, right, he didn't seem to think there was anything wrong about it. He was just like, yeah, I was tired, so I just came out for play. Thought I needed to, like, I mean, that's probably the most concerning, and he doesn't realize how bad of a look it is. And then for the Colts, he just kind of put them in an impossible spot. You know, You're asking, you know, 50-some guys to lay it on the line for you every week, and it's really hard to stand up in front of all these grown men who are doing damage to their bodies and taking risk and not give them the guy that clearly gives them the best chance for the reward of a victory in favor of a guy that not only tapped out but has some of the most hilarious stat lines week after week. I mean, like, Sunday, I saw at one point he was 2 for 14 for 87 yards and a touchdown. I mean, I'd never heard of that.
Yeah.
2 for 14, 87 yards and a touchdown. I mean, it's just, it's remarkable. And so, I think listen,
yeah,
if Flacco plays well and they go to the playoffs or whatever, great. If they're out of it or Flacco plays poor, then they'll put him back in. either way, on some level, I think the Colts were doing the right thing.
Okay.
Yeah, you know how much I think you have a pretty good idea how much the Bills players right away got behind Josh Allen here. Like it seemed very genuine, and like I'm you know, after all these years in this job, skeptical of how it sometimes can sound, but it seemed entirely believable and genuine that they would follow that guy anywhere. I feel like guys on the Colts right now will be looking at each other going like, our quarterback doesn't know how football works. What are we doing here?
Yeah, well, listen, I mean, the guy is 6'5", 250, runs a 4.4 40, and has the strongest arm in the NFL, and he didn't start as a sophomore at University of Florida in college. Like that's a gigantic red flag. That guy should start from the day he walks on campus. You know, I mean, something's very, very wrong there.
Ross, thank you. What are your weekend plans? Halloween, too, by the way. You've got your family in your car maybe here? I mean, what do we do on Halloween?
Yeah, I got my daughters. I always pick them up from dance. It's a sad year because they're splitting up. So it's the first year that we're not all together. They have different friend groups, so I've been crying myself to sleep at night, every night. Still deciding who mom's going with, who dad's going with. And then I'll drive up to West Point for Air Force at Army noon on CBS. My only trip to West Point this year, so really looking forward to it.
Let's go.
I saw a picture today. I think some Air Force, are they cadets? What are the Air Force? The people?
Yes.
Okay. I think they got in the upper deck of the stadium, and Air Force was spelled out in the upper deck of the Army stadium.
Oof.
No, Army people snuck in and made it Chair Force instead of Air Force, which is like a knock because Army's the people actually on the ground,
right?
The infantry, and the Air Force is just the ones flying the planes, dropping them off. It's like the knock.
We got to let you go, but I went there last year and thought of you because I think you've said how much you love broadcasting from there, from West Point.
Yeah, it's phenomenal.
Very good. Well, enjoy that. Halloween, make the best of it. We'll talk next week.
Awesome. See you guys.
All right, it's our man Ross Tucker, Odyssey NFL Insider. Calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. May your game day be delicious. And in part by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com.
Another thing I can't buy for the 42 cents from the Jets bet cash out.
Mayo.
Maybe a scoop. Two scoops at the most. Enough for one sandwich. Somebody else is going to have to buy it, and then I'm just going to have to take whatever percentage of the jar. It's 42 cents worth. All right, we've been talking MVP stuff today, the AFC. Are you ready to talk about late season rest strategy stuff? It does seem, I mean, it's still October. 803-0550 for your takes. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, here at Roswell Park today. This is WGR.
Yeah, we're on our way toward being that, and that's the goal, right? And it doesn't happen overnight. They're years into that. We're, 10 games or whatever it is, into trying to play the style that Lindy wants us to play. You know, fast, competitive, hard on the puck, getting to the blue paint offensively. And we've taken big steps in that regard, and there was a lot of that last night. But we just need to keep building on what we've done so far.
Sabres assistant coach Seth Eppert. I have two pro football reference tabs open right now, which is like usually about my minimum. I mean, it really is 20 times a show where I will open a pro football reference page or change what I'm looking at on that site. It's got to be that much. Anyway, I have Russell Wilson because I wanted to find out what he's making. And I needed SpotTrack for that. Wilson.
Like under $1 million, isn't it?
1.2.
Okay.
From the Steelers, but a base salary of $39 million from Denver with a dead cap of $107 million U.S. Denver.
Get good at football, kids.
And then Stephon Diggs, whose season is over.
Man.
Diggs ends his first campaign with the Texans, 47 catches for 496. That's on pace for 100 catches, 1,000 yards.
Yeah, he was having a nice year. And if you don't remember, they adjusted the contract. He's going to be a free agent at the end of the season, and he's going to be coming off an ACL injury that happened, you know, here in late October. That's really brutal at 31 years of age. I mean, I never had, like, the certainly, definitely not the most animosity. I don't even know if I really had any toward him for how this all unfolded. I'm sure there is some blame that lies with him for the divorce happening the way it happened. But, man, I just feel you take that bet on yourself. And there's always that risk. You have to know that there is that risk. Man, the guy's had, like, almost no injury history at all.
Right.
Since he got in the league. So you'd understand if he felt like, yeah, I'll go through another year and I'll be a free agent.
He didn't miss a game for the Bills.
Just a
maybe
terrible
one,
timing. Terrible timing for him. God.
Maybe one in the first year when they had locked up their seating or something. But he was never hurt. Well, anyway, Russell Wilson and Stephon Diggs have the same birthday. That's what I was getting.
Oh,
just
oh,
noticed they're both
how about that?
November 29th.
How many nicknames
one
do they each
from
have
today? Robot Russell.
Okay.
Didn't know that one.
No, didn't know it, but it fits.
Diggs doesn't have any.
Really? Wow.
I mean, he might.
But none posted here.
No.
that they're aware of.
I was looking up Trent Edwards last week because of that stat that Mercedes Lewis of the Bears has caught touchdown passes from both Justin Fields and Trent Edwards. And on Edwards' page, if it doesn't, I don't know why it wouldn't say this, it did a week ago, his nickname is Captain Checkdown.
Right.
And, like, they would really do that to a guy on ProFootballReference.com?
Yeah, that is not very complimentary, really. And I doubt that they would be confused about whether that's complimentary or not. It's pretty obvious that that is not a complimentary thing to be saying about a football quarterback.
Also, aren't there maybe 30 captains checkdown? Or maybe 10? How many?
I doubt he has the market cornered fans calling their quarterback that.
He's the only one? Like, he's the one who gets the moniker?
Right.
Because he's the standout in the group of captain checkdowns in NFL history? I don't know. I would like to see them take that down. Seems just unnecessarily harsh.
Yeah.
We'll talk to Paul Hamilton in about 25 minutes. A thought on Darlene here after last night. Like, the guy, do we appreciate how good he is? I don't know. You know, he is somebody, almost every pass is just perfect. You know, he's such a good player. Last night was not his best. I mean, he lost it in this game.
He lost it, and he hurt them early, too. Like, Lindy was pretty pointed about criticizing him last night after the game. Darlene was to himself. That came up, too, during Lindy's time with the media last night. Because I think someone asked him, like, do you feel like you need to talk to him? He's like, no, he stood there and owned it. Like, I that's what leaders do. Like, I'm not worried about him. But, you know, we got to be better than that. Yeah, he just left Reinhardt all alone in front in a 1-0 game. The Sabres were playing really well in against a team that's hard to play really well against. I mean, really well might be pushing it. Neither side was really generating much, but that's a win when you're playing Florida. Like, are we at a standstill here? Are they hemming us in and making our lives miserable? No. Okay, good. You know, we had a chance here, and that play was just brutal. And then, yeah, at the end, they're down 3-2. They had just had a pretty dangerous power play, and he just, yeah, I mean, he lost it. He slashed a dude right in the face. He got fined $5,000 for it today. And, you know, that penalty ended up being sawed off because, you know, Florida players came in to defend who was he hit in the face now. It doesn't matter. But so there was offsetting penalty, you know, it was 4-on-4, but it was just not. It's not where you want.
You want a random Panthers name?
Sure,
no, Mellenby.
It was not Mellenby, but I mean, you know,
he was on the Panthers.
Good
right?
job, he was at one time.
I just
maybe
wonder,
it was Lister Reinen. I don't know.
I don't mean to excuse it. Imagine being him. He's like, I mean, dozens of games under .500 for his career. And it's early this year, and they might be okay, right? We got pretty quick to, uh-oh, here we go again.
Right.
And
but
they've had a couple of good games.
They stabilized. And again, like I last night ends up looking – we'll get way more into this with Paul, of course, but it ends up looking pretty crooked by the end. But I kind of liked them last night. Like at 3-2, I was really like, get a goal. Come on, get a goal. Your goalie's played well tonight. Get another goal here. Give me a loser point, and I'm going to feel like I'm – because, again, I liked how they played overall. And, you know, on the heels of the three games that they won, you know, I was feeling like, okay, we're getting somewhere. So it was a tough result, and he largely was to blame. I mean, he made two really costly
But that
errors.
Almost never happens.
I, sure.
Right?
I know.
And yet he's been saddled with different partners, and the Sabres have had all the other problems. He's in his seventh year. And, you know, I think this was where we were with Jack and other guys where hopefully this is not the case. I mean, he signed, so did Eichel, committed to the franchise, the city. But don't – if you're on that elite level, which he pretty much is. I mean, he's kind of close to what Eichel is for a defenseman in the league, I think. Career-wise, you know, top two picks if you want. You're watching your career just go by.
Yeah.
And – you can't even get into the playoffs, which is what we're here for. You know, it's you're getting paid at about the highest level, but then after that,
yeah,
or even without that, what you're in it for is to win. And again, like I would say, just so I'm clear about this season, it's too early for me to think that players are like desperate about this season. I hope it's not like that.
Me too. I don't.
The guy's coming up on 500 games. Will there be one important one in his career? And that is what I would think about. You know, like, not necessarily when I'm on the ice.
Well, I would hope not, right.
When,
yeah.
You know, I think you try to put your career, your everything into perspective, and here's another top-end player with the Sabres that you couldn't be shocked.
Yeah.
If he's sort of this way about how it's gone for him.
You know, two years ago, maybe, I felt like he was knocking on the door of being in, like, the top three or four guys at the position in the sport. And I'm not even sure he's in the top 10 right now. He's had a very – now, he was hurt in camp, and there's been a lot of debating, like, is he – like, how much is he playing through? Is he himself yet? He's had a very uneven start to the year, no question, in my mind anyway. And he's got a lot of work to do to get back to the level that he, I think, is capable of being at. There's just so many – there's just more guys every year that just play that game, that are just threats all over the ice, and they're going to get you 90 to 100 points. there's just waves of them. And so he's got to get going.
I mean, he's on a pace for about 50.
Yeah.
Got it in the goal column.
Yeah.
He's on his fourth coach.
It was a great play. I mean, you saw all the talent, but the frustration at the end and the boneheaded play in the first period, just, man.
That's the key word. That's the right word. I guess I just want to point out, like, could you forgive the guy for being frustrated, maybe? If you're the best player on the team, again – and it's not – they were on a winning streak last night. So my timing isn't perfect here for this argument.
Yeah.
I just wouldn't – I would be like, what is the commitment of the organization? What is the quality? What is the plan? What is the – you know, what's possible here? Getting in the playoffs is what I'm to live for as a member of that team. And it's just such a low bar.
Such a low standard. Yeah, I don't think I'm inclined to forgive the frustration. You are the captain. You have been in the league 7 years now. And this team in particular, you were playing last night, they've had a thing, the Sabres, and with him specifically.
That's right.
Like, that goes back a couple of years. Like, last night was not the first time that there was dirty, questionable stuff going on in a game. And, I can get behind an effectively timed cheap shot, because there's animosity and it's growing and we want to make sure you know we're going to be here all year and all that kind of stuff. Not in a one-goal game like that. Like, they had played pretty well. You just got to keep it together.
Fair enough. Paul at 6, Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR. Welcome back. Paul Hamilton coming up at the top of the hour. We are privileged to be here at Roswell Park today. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, here on WGR. Sabres' next game is Friday night. One thing I've got written that has not come up yet, that national anthem last night at Yankee Stadium was incredible.
Oh, I did not see it.
Leslie Odom Jr. It was, I'm saying, the best ever.
Wow.
Not surprisingly, somebody gave me Whitney Houston, which is completely respectable.
Yeah.
Tiebreaker, she wasn't singing it. Like, she had recorded it. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Iconic, awesome, everything. This guy, everything about it I loved. I mean, plus Yankee Stadium.
And you're positive it wasn't recorded?
No, I'm not positive it wasn't recorded.
Okay.
But I tweeted it, and nobody told me it was.
Okay, good.
So I'm going with that it was live.
This
guy.
X is never wrong.
Leslie Odom Jr., Aaron Burr in the original Hamilton production. It's a must-see.
All right.
Last night. Yankee Stadium, Dodgers. Yeah. I felt like this is me imparting my own feelings onto the screen. I felt like the players were choked up.
Yeah.
I mean, they showed a few – the Yankee guys on the baseline, Ohtani, Betts. I don't know. Maybe they weren't – maybe it's just another day for them. But I think you're a ball player. You're at Yankee Stadium for the World Series.
And you're –
And Leslie Odom Jr. is singing a cappella, singing the
Dodgers,
anthem.
Yankees, yeah. Oh. Yeah. It's pretty tasty.
How
yeah.
could you resist?
Yeah. And then the game started, and the Freddie Freeman hit another home run, and, yeah. like, it's just it. Can we just
– Game over?
Just, no.
Series over?
I mean, you know, it's – 4-2. It just feels like the thing after the home run in game one, it just has not been able to get off the ground.
Nick Costos is saying betting the Yankees tonight is about the stupidest thing a human being could do.
Hmm.
I don't think I want to go that far, but you know.
Yeah, well.
Nick knows his stuff.
Yeah.
Leslie Odom Jr., the anthem last night at Yankee Stadium. Amazing. Also, we had an NFL game that was at 1.99. And that's another hot take I have for you today, is that there's never been a good team in NFL history who was once in a game where the score was 9-9. I'm out on the Steelers. I'm glad for them they're 6-2.
Right.
But no, they're not going. You're in a game with the Giants with the score 9-9, and it's not like a blizzard or something. Just no, that disqualifies you.
They did get there. They got some plays. That Austin punt return and then a touchdown. And then, yeah, I mean, they got there.
Wasn't there a flag on the punt return that they picked up?
There was actually illegal formation on the kicking team or something. There was a penalty announced on the kick. Yeah, 100%. Like, Joe Buck right away was like, flag down. He's calling it. But again, there's a flag down. And then the celebration in the end zone is happening. And George Pickens is down there waving at the – and I'm just thinking, guys, there was a flag down. You want to scale this back a little bit, but I'm guessing they knew that it was on the Giants by that point.
Show some awareness. You wanted the
right, yeah, but it turns out I was the one who didn't have awareness. I didn't know that the penalty – because how often do you see that? A big return, flag down, oh, yeah, illegal block in the back, receiving team, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
This was whatever – I think illegal for – whatever. You're not used to seeing that at all on the kicking team.
First touchdown of the game, right? 9-9. That broke the tie.
Yeah, I think that's right. I had very good timing. That was when I got there. I missed all the 9-9 nonsense.
You did. Paul Hamilton after the update. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog at Roswell Park. This is WGR.